Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Thrilled to be joined by my friend Jack Posobiec. Jack, welcome back to The Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, great to be here, man.
So I want to cover a lot of topics with you today, one of which is the president fighting the Chinese coronavirus. First, can you just give us a frontline report of what you saw outside of Walter Reed Hospital, the enthusiasm, the energy, and how the media was misrepresenting it?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So I actually only live about 35 minutes from Walter Reed Hospital. So when we heard that the president was going down there, got the One American News crew together, we said, we're going to head down and see what the situation is like. And when we first got there on night one, there's probably only about 15 to 20 people there. It was already pretty late in the evening when we got there. But people were sending in food from all over the country. And the event, it really became an event there outside that just kept growing and growing. To Saturday, there was a massive prayer vigil. And then Sunday, it was just exploding. Now, even as we speak, people are there waiting for him. And he's reportedly going to be discharged very soon. And so the media at one point was, I saw this headline from NBC saying that there was a tense moment when pro-Trump supporters were facing off with, protesters. And I was looking around, I said, the entire weekend, the only protesters I saw was like one girl and a guy that was just way across the street screaming, wah, wah. And then they left. And then at one point there was a family who came by. It seemed like it was a family. And then the mother was just, to put it nicely, I think she had may have had one or two adult beverages before she came out. And when I started to interview her, to ask her what was up, why they wanted to come out that night, she couldn't even explain to me why she wanted to come out.
Well, that sounds about right. And so can you talk about the amount of enthusiasm on the ground for the president, the energy, the kind of the true grassroots nature of the Trump movement? People were coming in from all across the country really to support the president. It was really incredible.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
That's really what spoke to me because, I talked to a lot of people and then people say, oh, from D.C., like, oh, we're here in Bethesda area. We're from Silver Springs. We're all nearby. And then you go to the next person, just as you're interviewing people in the crowd, asking where they're from. And you hear the next guy and he says, oh, I'm from Wisconsin. I flew here as soon as I heard that the president was going to the hospital. I flew from Wisconsin. Talked to another woman. She actually flew in from San Diego. I talked to someone who came in from all the way from Syracuse, New York. He said the minute, and he drove with his five children and he got in the car. He's actually an immigrant from the Bahamas and he drove in and he said, the minute I heard, he said, we were about to go for dinner. I was sitting down at dinner with my wife and I heard the president was going to the hospital and I said, we have to go right now. She said, but I just put dinner on the table. I said, no, we have to go right now. We put everyone into the minivan. They booked a hotel while they were driving down from Syracuse, New York to be there. I said, why did you feel so compelled to do that at the spur of the moment? And he said, because he needed us there. And so we wanted to come. And there was so much, I got to tell you, I come to this as a Christian. I know you're Christian, Charlie. And you talked openly about your faith. There were so many prayers. There was definitely a lot of spiritual, prayerful energy and power there for the president and with his supporters there. And, there was one guy who showed up with, he had a Joe Biden like face mask on. And people said, what are you here for? Are you a Joe Biden guy? I said, you know what? I'm in the area, but I think it's the right thing to do for the country that we all wish that he got better. And everybody welcomed him and started cheering. He said, you're more than welcome to be here with us.
And yet it seems the activist media was almost in many different ways cheering for his demise and almost seemed, pleasantly surprised that the president got infected. Now we are re-entering into the election season after the president has, I don't want to declare victory too soon, but it seems like he's defeated this virus. I think it's fair to say that he's on the better side of it. So, Jack, what do you think is happening in this election? What are you seeing on the ground? And what do you think the president has to do to win? Some people are saying it's 2016 all over again. We're going to win. Some people are saying we're not going to catch the Democrats by surprise. They're better prepared for us. What are you seeing on the ground so that the president can win four more years?
Sure. Well, and I've been out across the Midwest. I've been in the Mid-Atlantic. I've been in Pennsylvania. I've been to Wisconsin more times this year than I've ever even thought I would be in Wisconsin in my life. And I don't say that it's not, by the way. Actually, it turns out I like Wisconsin a lot. The cheese curds are amazing. If you haven't tried them yet, Milwaukee, 3rd Street, trust me on this. And what we're seeing is that there is a chance that Trump does win these states once again. And here's what's going on. You see, because if Biden were up 14 points, like the media is telling us in these polls, then why is Biden campaigning in places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, right, Ohio? Why is he going to the places that are where we've always thought, and we know the conventional wisdom, is that these are the places where the enthusiasm and where the flipping goes on, these swing states, right? The president, I'll tell you this much right now. We just got back from Florida here. That was the last rally we attended. The enthusiasm for the president is through the roof. I talked to people down there. They think Florida is in the bag for Trump. And that is incredible because Florida really is that ultimate swing state. The big worry that people have, Charlie, and I've got to tell you this, is that people know how close the election was in Pennsylvania, 44,000 votes. They know how close it was in Michigan. They know how close it was in Wisconsin. And that's where people are starting to get worried about these mail-in ballots, the counting process, knowing that we may not know the specific winner of the race on that night. And so that's where people are telling me they want to get out. It's actually making them more motivated and more enthusiastic to go out to the polls on election day because they know those votes will be counted during the time the polls close.
So, Jack, can you talk about some of those threats to the election for President Trump? Can you talk about the tech companies, talk about the mail-in balloting, and also talk about George Soros pumping in millions of dollars, which is a very legitimate thing? So I want to cover all three of those things. You choose which one you hit first.
Well, really with social media, and we've seen this honestly more on Facebook and Instagram, I think, than anywhere else right now. And that's certainly what the numbers are, that this idea of fact-checking, they call it fact-checking. They say, well, you posted a humorous article or you posted a funny picture or something from the Babylon Bee, which is a conservative satire site, satirical. It's meant to be like The Onion. But they'll fact check it and then they'll limit your posts, they'll limit your engagement, they'll limit your site. We've seen numerous conservative pages be taken down, fan pages be taken down because of this. You don't see the same level of takedowns happening on the left. And I thought that all of this control, right, all these new controls, all these new environmental protections were just supposed to be there because remember foreign interference. Remember after 2016, everyone was talking about foreign interference. We have to watch out for the foreign interference. You got to watch out for those Russian memes, those Russian memes that are going to swing the election. And yet you don't really seem to hear anything about foreign interference when it comes to social media anymore. They talk about fact checking. They talk about fighting misinformation. And then when you try to combat anybody about saying, well, excuse me, that's just a joke. It's something satirical, it's sarcastic, right? They can't, I guess the algorithms don't understand that yet. And so you're seeing time and time again, conservative pages being struck down by this.
Can you build out for us what we should do about the social media tyranny that we see in our country?
We're going to need government action at this point. We've seen government action being taken against monopolies many times in the past. And I think we really need to start understanding that that's what they are. And that's the kind of power and influence they have in our country. And certainly it's not something that conservatives, right, you usually talk about. But when we understand that we want the free market, that means market competition. You can't have that when you have a monopoly.
Well, that is very well said. And I think that we should always care about individual liberty. I think that is why we are conservatives, is that we want people to be able to make choices. And whether it's a corporation or a government bureaucrat getting in the way of you making choices to speak freely, to be able to buy products freely, then we should be worried about that. And that is how I reconcile going up against these corporations, because a lot of these corporations are really existing as macro tyrants, going after people's capacity to speak, going after people's ability to choose other products. And they are acting like totalitarian pseudo power governments, and that they feel it is their right or their prerogative to stamp out the opposition and to try to obliterate anything that they might disagree with, whether it be Amazon or whether it be Google in particular. And I think that Google's power that they exhibit over the free, you know, the free people in our republic is really creepy and scary. We're going to dive into that as and much more. I want to get your thoughts on George Soros's role in this whole election. Look, here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with very high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support, the worst. So while there's a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer to keep your family safe from criminals. The thugs are walking the streets, maybe coming after your family. You have to keep your family safe. That's why you need SimpliSafe. Look, crime is up huge percentages in New York and Los Angeles. They're breaking into homes. They're taking people's stuff. That's why you need SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It has an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window and door tailored specifically. Look, I like partnering with SimpliSafe because I know it keeps you safe. I use SimpliSafe for all the property that I care about, and you can set it up in under an hour. All this starts at $15 a month. There's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. They are in the business of keeping your family and your loved ones safe. So try SimpliSafe today at simplisafe.com/Charlie. You get a free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/Charlie. Jack has over 1 million Twitter followers. Congratulations, Jack. Tell us about George Soros. What's going on with him trying to influence this election?
Well, one of the big things that we've seen from Soros this year is actually something that he started doing back in 2016. It was a sort of a program that he launched whereby in he started funding district attorneys throughout the country. When people started to see that, they were like, oh, well, that's not a national thing, so maybe we don't need to worry about it. Maybe it's something that we can just leave by the wayside. But what we're now seeing is that those district attorneys, and this happened in 2018 as well, they got in power in many major cities of the United States: Philadelphia, St. Louis, San Francisco, Chicago, and they've enacted measures and are putting charges on people and police officers specifically that are extremely detrimental to those societies. Meanwhile, at the same time, because we're dealing with these situations where throughout the summer and now into the fall in places like Portland, places like Seattle, rioting and lawlessness and unrest has continued, charges are not being brought at the local level. This has not been going on. And so these groups, these anarchist groups, violent criminal groups, Antifa groups, they are able to conduct their operations and really even learn to evolve and advance their operations because they're not made to pay any really high cost for this, because the charges keep getting dropped. So they know if they get arrested tonight, they're going to be back out the next night. And so this enables those groups to bed in and get more advanced networking, more advanced tactics. And when you really kind of trickle it all back, it's because there's been this breakdown in law and order, because a sort of new cadre of local district attorneys in these cities has decided that for them, it's not the justice system, it's social justice that takes the priority.
So, Jack, what can people do about this on the DA level? And before you even answer that question, can you just give me some idea of what your opinion is? What does George Soros want? Tell us more about this guy. A lot of people have a very basic or limited understanding about who he is and where he comes from. The name's thrown around a lot. What can you tell us about him?
Well, the name is thrown around a lot, and that's because, you know, not to be any kind of, you know, alarmist, but he is somebody that is certainly a mega donor to the Democrat Party and to far left liberal movements. And we can see this in FEC filings. We can see this in his mega donations, over $500,000 to Joe Biden super PACs. We can see this in his donations to various liberal groups. And he's pushing his agenda, which is an agenda that is basically married up with that of social justice. So it is an open borders agenda. It is that sort of borderless flow of people and capital and goods that sort of changes the way that people look at a country, right? And it flies in the face of everything that, you know, Donald Trump would stand for, because he's someone that looks at as the nation state. And he said this again and again, the nation state is the source of what makes us great as a country. But when you start breaking away those building blocks and those institutions of our nation state, like being able to control our own sovereignty, who is in our country, who is allowed to be in our country, these basic decisions that we as a country inherently would have, he funds these organizations and then individuals, politicians, and in some cases, even media organizations or media-like organizations, I should say, they're usually 501c3s that sort of act as their some sort of accountability institute, even though his organization itself is called the Open Society Foundation, when it actually turns out that a lot of this, his stuff, when you're trying to dig into it, it's some of the most concealed and closed information that's actually out there. So I don't know how open you are, you guys. And so when we're talking about this, I mean, it really is somebody who's putting his thumb down on the side of the left with his financial donations and with these massive organizations that exist to be attack dogs for the left, to smear anybody on the right, anybody who's to the right of Joseph Stalin immediately becomes, you know, a fascist, a Nazi, and you could go down the list of all the different crazy names they come up with. But that is their goal. And this is tactical. It is an old school playbook that's been used by people on the left. It's quite effective. And now you're starting to even see corporate shakedowns going on this, because they'll use, and Nancy Pelosi actually talked about this, they'll use something called the wrap-up smear. So the wrap-up smear goes like, first you get a person to smear them, and then you go get someone to report on the smear, and then people will go to, you know, an advertiser or a company and say, well, how can you support that person? Because look at what so-and-so says about them. And the advertiser, of course, doesn't know what to do. And so this is a Kafkaesque tactic that the left has started. It's been quite effective for certain media organizations, but other ones have realized what's going on, have realized that so much of this is a baseless operation, that when people go out there and they say, look, we believe in this country, we believe in God, yep, we believe in Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that.
Hold that thought. Look, there's a serious problem out there. Our first responders and heroes, a lot of you listen to the show, a lot of them, you have relatives of first responders. You have to pay out of your pocket for gear for the job that you're doing. So, for example, if you're a police officer, or if your husband's a police officer, or EMS or medical worker, you have to deal with constrained budgets as it is. They're trying to defund the police, and you have to pay out of your pocket for the gear. Hunting for military or first responder discounts has usually been a total headache. My police officer friends, who are total heroes, they say they can't find the discounts they need. Big general retailers don't care about you and your sacrifices, just as long as you're just adding to the cart button, typical new age corporate America. That's what's amazing about GovX. You see, GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible, because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands, all in one convenient location. So right now, visit GovX.com. Use the promo code Kirk. If you've got a military or first responder background, visit GovX and sign up for our free for instant access to tons of deals and a community that honors your service. GovX.com, promo code Kirk. Jack, can you also build out for us what is happening with mail-in voting? I hear that it's been some good court victories recently. What's exactly going on there? And should people that want fair and free elections be concerned? And if so, what specifically should we be concerned about?
Yeah, people need to be concerned about mail-in ballots, because there are certain states right now, particularly the Western states, really that sort of left coast that we talk about, that are enacting a new type of mail-in ballots. And so before I even get into that, let me break down exactly what we're talking about. What we're not talking about is absentee ballots. Absentee balloting is something that's been going on since essentially the Civil War era. That means you can't make it to the polls, so you go to your county office, you let them know that you're not going to make it. You request a mail-in ballot. They send it to you. You vote. You send it back. Boom, you're done. That gets counted. Mail-in ballots ballots. What we're talking about here is mass mail ballots. And I almost wonder if we should start referring it to mass mail-in ballots, because mass mail-in ballots means every single person who is a registered voter in that state is going to be mailed a ballot. Charlie, I think that the people in your audience are definitely smart enough to realize all the permutations of problems that could come up with just ballots going all over the place. Look, when you move somewhere, when I move somewhere, we don't always notify the county board of elections immediately that we moved. Maybe we were in a different place. We were registered to vote there. We haven't updated our address yet, or that address hasn't been reflected. Now, personally, my vote, we know that everybody else out there isn't as up on that. And so we've already heard information, or just anecdotes of people getting 5, 6, 7 ballots in addresses of people that they've never even heard of, because maybe they lived there in the past. I'm in Washington, D.C., right? People move in and out of the apartments here like crazy, because we've got Hill staffers, political staffers, campaign staffers, we've got students, people who were here during last year, but they're not here now because of COVID and everything's online. So, you know, you've got a sort of a housing inventory that's kind of in flux. And so all of these ballots then are just going to be sent out in many of these states. Now, fortunately, it doesn't seem that this is going on in any direct battleground states, not those swing states, those Rust Belt states that we've been talking about so much. And so hopefully something like this doesn't happen. However, one thing that I'm paying very close attention to is the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is an area, I'm from there, I'm from the Philadelphia area originally. I know how bad things can get in Philadelphia on a regular election day. This one is going to be completely different. So we've already had instances of not even just the mail-in voters, but actually the election warehouse in Philadelphia, where the voting machines are stored. We had somebody break in there and steal the memory sticks on the voting machines that are used to program the electronic votes. So we don't. And then there was actually a local reporter who went there the next day just to kind of scope it out, was able to walk right in even after the theft had happened. No security whatsoever. Now, the city tells us that they're fixing this. But there's another issue that the city of Philadelphia has done, and that is satellite voting offices. So the state of Pennsylvania, as I just mentioned, they're not doing mass mail-in voting, and they don't traditionally or currently have early voting in the state of Pennsylvania. However, the city of Philadelphia, in their wisdom, have created a new type of legal loophole for early voting. And what they're calling it is in-person absentee voting, where they've set up 17 satellite offices across the city of Philadelphia, where you can go request an absentee ballot, fill it out, hand it in, have it counted, and then leave, and may have that be your vote. But they're not allowing poll watchers to go into these places because legally they're saying they're not classified as polling locations. They're just in-person mail-in voting locations. So the Trump campaign nationally is and has a local lawsuit against the county of Philadelphia, basically saying this is a complete contrivance of the Pennsylvania election code. You cannot have what are de facto polling locations. You're calling them something else. You're calling them in-person. Look, if people are going in and they are voting and they're writing down who they're voting for and it's going in, that is a polling location. And under Pennsylvania state law, just like the law in many, many other states, each candidate and each party are entitled to poll watchers to be there to observe the vote and to make sure that everything is going above board.
I think that is very well said, and it's horrifying to see what is going on with mail-in balloting across the country, just to see how, you know, the ballots are being sent to every registered voter, and people have no recourse whatsoever to make sure they have fair and free elections. Jack, can you talk about the idea of a color revolution against our president? This is something that a lot of people kind of, it's the new trendy thing to talk about. We had the great Darren Beatty on here on the podcast. He talked about that. What are you seeing and hearing around this topic?
Well, you know, that's certainly a part of the world that has seen these types of this phenomena really come up, this program, which is essentially a regime change type of tactic that's used against foreign adversaries. We also saw this in the Arab Spring, 2011. We saw this in Libya, where people are coming from outside of a country, NGOs, non-government organizations, foreign institutions that are brought in to sort of fan the flames of dissent and unrest and instability to push it further and further when they detect it originally. And it usually is organic when it starts. They fan the flames of it. Then when an election takes place, the first thing they do, they declare the results of that election illegitimate, and they continue to radicalize and push people to the edge until something happens, until they get what they want. We are starting to see those very same tactics here in the United States. We see it with the widespread civil unrest throughout the summer, now going into this fall. We see it in so many media outlets and so many of these former officials of our government, former national security officials, telling us again and again that this election is going to be illegitimate somehow. Or you've got Mark Zuckerberg even coming out there and saying publicly, there's nothing wrong with not knowing who the president is going to be on election day. Well, we should know that, Mark. We should definitely know that. And furthermore, who are you to tell us how our Constitution works and how our federal electors work? You're the head of some company. You're not in charge of this. This doesn't actually concern you. But of course, Charlie, as we talked about before, we know the power of social media. And so that's him kind of, you know, showing you the man behind the curtain a little bit and letting you know that, yes, he does actually have that power. Social media has even said, and this is something that we've seen contingent with these color revolutions, they've said essentially that if President Trump declares victory that night and starts to give a speech. Now, they don't say Trump. They say if any candidates, this is what Mark Zuckerberg said, if any candidate declares victory before a consensus result is reached, then we will not allow that to be broadcast on our social media. I want to really push down on this because that is chilling. That is chilling to hear anyone, you know, a techno tyrant tell us how our elections are going to be run.
Jack, I'm stealing that term, techno tyrant. Thank you. I will give
top
you.
Top of that, man.
I will use you. I will give you attribution sometimes. It's terrific. Is Antifa just an idea, Jack?
Well, I would say that Antifa has an idea, and Antifa's idea is neo-Marxist insurrection in the United States. No, so Antifa is an idea the same way that white supremacy is an idea or radical Islam is an idea, right? So anti-fascism, of course, is a radical ideology, but then there are groups within that ideology, the way that formed, the way that within radical Islam, you've got ISIS, you've got Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah. Of course, these are radical groups. Within Antifa, you've got Rose City Antifa, Anti-Racist Action. You've got Revolutionary Communism. You've got Refuse Fascism, which is a national network. So you can go through and find the various different, and then, of course, the local regional cells that circulate among various cities. So Smash Racism DC or Emerald City Antifa in Seattle. By any means necessary in Berkeley, Oakland area. The idea that every morning when you wake up and you can see the video about social media, these black clad militants smashing windows, throwing Molotov cocktails, attacking police officers, accosting people while they have their dinner or they're just trying to eat, right? And regular people, there's not even targeting anyone. It's just indiscriminate. I'd have to say I've never seen an idea throw a hammer through a window before.
They say Antifa is just an idea. It's absolutely unbelievable. Jack, you look into things really well, and you kind of have a really good awareness of things. Why has the BLM Incorporated organization been allowed to take all this money? Where are these donations going? Act Blue, no address, no phone number. Am I missing something here?
You know, actually, it's kind of interesting because when the original BLM organization, BLM Inc., came about in, you know, really 2014, 2015, and then really blew up in 2016, got huge. This through Ferguson, through Freddie Gray, the Oakland shootings, various different things that happened. This was an issue early on. Sean King was a huge part of this problem, that the money would be raised by these activists, but because it was done in a very open source way through crowdfunding or companies that were giving money to an organization. There are even times where corporate donations in the past were going to organizations that had Black Lives Matter. And I think there was one, and you know, I'm sure, you know, fact check me on this, but I think it was called Black Lives Matter Global, that was taking money from various corporations, and it wasn't even affiliated with the main Black Lives Matter. So somebody just set up a 501c3 and was taking money corporations were giving it to them because they were just taking it and they had the similar name. And so that is the main problem that you've got, because Charlie, think about it. If I were to even ask a person on the street now, who's the leader of Black Lives Matter, right? This is very deliberate on their part. They don't have an either.
And it seems as if that their philosophy is almost in line with what they do. They don't believe in hierarchies. They don't think that any one person should be above the other. There's a great Star Trek kind of example of the Borg. You know, resistance is futile. We're all in one kind of body together, that there is no one person that is better than the other. And in some ways, that's kind of how they operate. Interestingly enough.
Submit and be added to the collective.
Yeah, exactly. Just to be part of the collective body together. People need to realize Antifa, I mean, Joe Biden was trying to say, it's just an idea. Well, when you get a brick thrown through your window or you get stormed out of a restaurant like Candace Owens and I did in Philadelphia, it's a lot more than just an idea. I could tell you that much. It's an organization. It has membership, has goals, and they use violent means to try to go about it.
They have uniforms.
That's right.
I always say that. They have uniforms.
Look, if you're hungry right now, I got a solution for you. Let me tell you about Good Ranchers. They got the best meat in the country because Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality 100% American-born, raised at harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, American values. Maybe you're a college student and you're tired of just eating the endless piles of garbage they feed you. Maybe you're a single mother and you just want to be able to feed your kids good protein. Or maybe you're a father with an obligation to put food on the table. Well, why don't you put meat on the table from goodranchers.com? You get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. I'm a big beef fan. I love meat. It's very important that you have good meat, and that's what Good Ranchers is all about. GoodRanchers.com is 100% American beef, chicken, and more, and you can support American farmers who support the American economy. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts or the overseas stuff. Come on, buy American, everybody. Get the good cuts your family deserves at GoodRanchers.com. They deliver your favorite meats right to your door and use the promo code CHARLIE, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to save $20 off your purchase. That's GoodRanchers.com right now. Use the promo code CHARLIE. Save $20 for a limited time only. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE.
So, of course, we're working day in, day out, One American News. We are one of the fastest growing networks in terms of cable news in the United States. We certainly have been very clear. We were probably one of the only networks that got COVID weekend right in terms of our sources, our real sources, in and out of the White House, sort of medical team there, finding out what the status of the president was and the first lady, by the way, because I don't even think any other media outlet was asking about the status of the first lady. You saw these press briefings. Well, we went to our sources. We found what I am also working on. It's been a long term project. It's sort of a dual pronged effort. What we're doing, I'm working on a new special and a book, a full length book on the I'm going to be going into their background. I'm going into their funding. I'm going into who their leaders, who their heroes are. The founder of Antifa, right? Why don't we know this guy's name? His name is Ernst Thälmann. He was a communist in the 1930s. This guy was a Soviet agent. He was actually one of the pallbearers, right? One of the honor guards for Vladimir Lenin in Moscow, right? That's the founder of Antifa. Why is this information not being told to anybody? So we're gonna take the various heroes of Antifa from around the world, and we're going to make them famous, absolutely famous. We're gonna go back. We're even gonna go back to all the way to 1901. 1901, we had an anarcho-socialist walks up to President McKinley, shoots and kills him in Buffalo, New York. Right. That's how Teddy Roosevelt became president. Teddy Roosevelt was vice president. He then became our youngest president. Right, so we know about Teddy, but why don't we know that an anarcho-socialist assassin actually killed one of our presidents, right? There's so much information that's out there. And then we're going to get into what happened in Portland, right? The killing of a Trump supporter on the streets. We're going to get into what happened in Dayton, Ohio, one of these Antifa guys who just decides to just kind of cut loose. He gets activated and he goes out on a horrific killing spree, a shooting spree. And we're even in some cases, I don't want to reveal too much about the special just yet, but I will say that certain things are going to be done in terms of a dramatic reenactment. So it's almost like a docudrama in some parts of this. We're doing stuff really with this project that you don't see happen very often from the right. Typically we're pretty good with ideas, but we don't usually do so well when it comes to culture, when it comes to actually showing something that people want to sit down and watch with their friends, talk about, start a conversation. Usually the left is so good that you turn on Netflix, you turn on Amazon Prime, it's all left wing. It's all left wing. What we're doing is showing something that would stand up with Hollywood standards on any of those streaming services, anything that you're seeing out in movies today. It's actually the camera that we're using for this thing is the exact same camera they used to film The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That's literally the level that we're at in terms of the production of this. And the trailer that we just released, the president retweeted, it's got a couple million views already. So we're very excited about that. And also very excited that the president is doing better because we're hoping he's going to be able to see it.
Jack, thank you so much for joining the Charlie Kirk Show. We really appreciate it. And I hope Trump wins, and I hope you're right. Talk to you soon. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Your subscription to the Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review, and we'll send you a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller MAGA Doctrine if you are 10 lucky people. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, and please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. If this podcast has impacted you in any way, please consider supporting us, charliekirk.com/support, and I would love to hear your thoughts on our list of five. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Talk to you soon.